The game is over. Your Bucks postgame show starts now. Welcome to Bucks Talk. Insight, analysis, and your chance to sound off on the game you just heard. Now to break it all down, here's your host, Justin Garcia.
The Bucks get back in the win column tonight, taking down the Nets, and another game where the offense explodes. That was not the issue tonight. It really was the defense. And look, it is worth pointing out, as we heard from Adrian Griffin, a credit to the Nets. They certainly were the more active team tonight. When you looked at that injury report, I think a lot of us wondered, what is this game going to look like? And even last night, when you saw the Brooklyn Nets were in Detroit to take on the Pistons, a very, very strange set of scheduling here for the Pistons, especially, where they've gone back and forth, same for the Nets. But nonetheless, Brooklyn was there last night in a game that had a lot more implications than just your standard regular season game, as Brooklyn was trying to avoid being the team that lost to the Pistons. They were able to do that. So that streak, 27 consecutive losses now for the Detroit Pistons, who, by the way, back at it tomorrow, taking on the Boston Celtics. A loss would match the record for most consecutive losses over a span of two seasons set by the process era 76ers. But that's where Brooklyn was last night. You had a number of players out, a lot of scoring out, not just the players that did not play in this game, but we saw, for all intents and purposes, all of their starters, but Dennis Smith Jr., did not play past the first couple of minutes of the second quarter. That can, as crazy as it sounds, present some challenges. I am not trying to make excuses for the Bucks, because frankly, the defense was not good enough tonight. And is one of those things that we continue to hear from Adrian Griffin. We're trying to get better. We're trying to get this defense at a place we need it to be for April and May and June. And it certainly was not tonight. But it can present challenges of getting up for your opponent when you look across the court and see that in terms of the injury report and players that were available. The other thing is, this is a very, very strange week that the Bucks have had, where they arrived in New York last Friday for their first game, a Saturday morning against the Knicks. Then 2 days later, you play on Christmas Day against that same Knicks team on Saturday. Then you play 2 days after that in a different borough in Brooklyn. You stayed in the same hotel, in the same room, for a week. You are a visitor in that city for that extended period of time. It is very uncommon to see something like that. And as Griff kind of alluded to, we just wanted to get out of New York at this point. And they do that. And they do that with a 2-1 record and a chance to go 3-1 on this road trip. So that's the good. The bad is some more of what we saw defensively and point of attack defense against inferior skill level from your opponent. The point of attack defense still remains an issue for this Bucks team. With all of that out of the way, though, and I will take your thoughts and your calls on what we saw on the defensive end or anything that you saw tonight from the Bucks, I do want to spend quite a bit of time tonight talking about the unfortunate news that we shared before pregame, is just as we were getting into that. The news broke. They addressed it quite a bit on Wisconsin's afternoon news as well, but the news of the passing of former Bucks owner and Wisconsin State Senator Herb Cole. Herb Cole was a very, very special man to many within that organization. Anybody that got a chance to meet him, as I'm sure we're all starting to see the outpouring of emotions and stories that everybody has. If you are a Wisconsinite, if you've been in the city long enough, if you've been to enough Bucks games, you have a Herb Cole story or experience. So I do want to hear some of those interactions that you had with the man Herb Cole, how he impacted you or touched your life, and certainly did that with the Milwaukee Bucks, because this team does not win a championship in 2021. This team does not get to play in Fiserv form. This team is not still in Milwaukee if it's not for what Herb Cole did. A lot of us criticized Herb Cole as the owner at the very, very lows of this organization. But the things that he did towards the end to ensure that this team remained in Milwaukee, You cannot put a price tag on that, on what it means to keep your city a major league city, to keep a franchise, and to keep that type of investment from your community, what sports does to bring together a community, the revenue stream that it creates as well. Herb Cole is largely responsible for that. He has Herb Cole Way right outside the arena. The man does deserve a statue for everything that he did. Let's keep in mind, too, when Herb Cole sold the team, you go back to 2003, and I vividly remember covering that draft. I was an intern here at WTMJ, and one of my responsibilities was basically learning how to be a sports reporter. I would cover Brewer games, and I got to cover the NBA draft for two summers. And in 2003, that was the year where the Michael Jordan rumors were starting to intensify, and there was an interest from Michael Jordan to buy the Bucks. But the further it got into that process, the more it seemed like, I don't know that the Bucks are going to remain in Milwaukee if they're sold to this ownership group that Michael Jordan is a part of. And Herb Cole pulled the plug on that. And I remember all of that was starting to come to a head the night of the NBA draft, being there and seeing Herb Cole at that event and seeing everybody else kind of try to approach the elephant in the room. And Herb Cole remaining committed to this team staying in Milwaukee. The processes he went through to find the right ownership group that was going to do that and leave the Bucks here where they are. And finally finding that group. And that group helping bring a championship to Milwaukee. But also Herb Cole putting up $100 million of his own money to help get that arena, Fiserv Forum, built. After he had sold the team and could have very easily cashed out, walked away with all of that money, he bought the team for just over $18 million in 1985. He sold it for half a billion dollars. He could have pocketed all that. Herb Cole kicked in some money to help get the arena built. And more importantly, as I've met a number of individuals that still work at the arena, I've heard their stories. I've heard it from people in the broadcast area as well. Every single person that worked at the Bradley Center, that worked for the Bucks, that came across Herb Cole, they received a financial gift from Herb Cole as well when he sold that team. The smallest amount was $500. I can tell you there were amounts significantly more than that. That was the generosity of Herb Cole. That was the type of philanthropist that he was. He was a businessman. He was a senator. More importantly, he was a Milwaukeean, and he was proud of where he was from. He was a staple in the community. You came across Herb Cole at the most random, unique places. He was not a man that lived the lifestyle you would associate with how financially successful he was. He was extremely down to earth. He was incredibly special, and he was on the very, very short list of people that have impacted this state and city as much as Herb Cole has over the course of his life. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight. A sad night with the passing of the longtime owner of the Bucks. We'll take your thoughts on that, your Herb Cole memories, any experiences that you had with the late senator. And to take a look at some more numbers from this, as I mentioned, you wonder where that offense is going to be going for the Bucks, and we do have an update on that. So we'll get to all of that after this on Bucks Talk. 144 to 122, the final score in Brooklyn as the Bucks do get past the Nets. They're 23-8 on the season. A chance to wrap up the calendar year at 24-8, and you're basically a third of the way, more than a third of the way through the season already. Look, there's a lot to pick apart with what we've seen on one end of the floor. Certainly the last two games, not the ideal defensive showing for this Bucks team. But they continue to post an elite offense. As of this moment, they have a 121.2 offensive rating. That includes the game tonight. And that 121.2 number is second best in the NBA now. They have moved past the Philadelphia 76ers. They trail the Indiana Pacers by less than a point per 100 possessions. The Pacers have really started to fall back to earth the last basically 2 weeks ever since they played the Bucks in the in-season tournament semifinals. 121.8 is the Pacers rating. Defense, still not great. It's a 115.5 defensive rating, which is 20th for the season as a whole. But the Bucks, as of this moment, have the fourth best net rating in the league. And any other year, that is the thing you would point to say, hey, this is the barometer for success. Now, it's not a great number. It's below six for a net rating. You have the Sixers and the Celtics, the only teams in the league that have a net rating that is 10 or better. But by the numbers, the Bucks' net rating, it matches up with what we've seen in terms of their win total. They've been one of the best teams in the league with that category, and they've been the third most successful team in the league so far this season by way of win percentage. And again, as we look back to November 3rd as that magic date here, a 122.5 offensive rating for the Bucks, second to only the Indiana Pacers, who are 123.1, and it is a full point better than the Philadelphia 76ers, who are third. The defensive rating is better as well by just less than a point. It's an even 115. That's good enough for 14th in the league since November 3rd, since Brooke Lopez moved back to the drop defense. And you're not that far off from being 12th where the Miami Heat currently sit. But most importantly, that net rating, it looks better. It's a 7.4 that trails the Celtics, the Thunder, and the 76ers. So it's getting there. It's slowly but surely getting there is what we continue to see for the Bucks. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head to the phone lines and talk with Will I Am. What's going on tonight, Will?
Hey, Justin. Hey, man. Happy holidays. And what a way to get a little bounce back win here. First off, not Bucks related. Feels so good to hear, you know, on the radio driving home, on Bally. It's really hard to watch the games on ESPN when they're all previous New York affiliates. So felt good to have some Bucks ball. Felt good to see the Bucks reign. Felt good to see Giannis and Chris do their thing. And like you said, we're just keep on going up and trending upward. Really proud of the bench again. Campaign doing his thing. Bobby, Marjan getting those opportunities. I'm just excited to see, you know, our defense get better, Justin. That's all I'm begging for, just a little bit. You know, a nice big statement win tonight. 2-1 in New York, I like that. But my question to you is, when is Jay Crowder going to come back? Because I know he's going to provide some boost on the defensive end and also on the shooting end, because, you know, I feel like our team's gelling, but we still need improvement. So when do you think, or when is he projected to return?
I think it's still the best case scenario is about 2 or 3 weeks away from that. I think he's at about 5 weeks since that initial prognosis. So it's going to be mid to like late mid January.
Okay. Well, I'm still really excited. Even if we get a third of what Jay Crowder was doing, just to have that veteran presence on the floor and kind of to check these players that kind of just catch fire against our team this year. And, you know, having someone to kind of get in their face at the end of the games where, you know, the Nets didn't really give this one up, you know, but I'm happy we just kept putting our foot to the metal and bouncing back like we do. And, hey, man, it's always a good night when you see Robin Lopez drilling a three, drinking some tea. That's what I want for the holidays, Justin.
It's a great gift. I'll give you that. Thanks for the call, Will. And
anytime.
Look, they're going to be able to outscore a lot of teams for those numbers that we just gave, that the offense keeps reaching higher levels of elite. Second best offensive rating in the league. They would have the greatest offense in the history of the NBA if it weren't for that team that's in front of them right now, the Indiana Pacers. But we're kind of in that cycle where every single year, whenever a team finishes first offensively, it's going to be the number one offense in the history of the NBA. But the big thing is, as good as that offense has been, I wouldn't say scratch the surface. I think we're beyond that now. But it's not a finished product. Damian Lillard and Giannis are getting better in that two-man game. Adrian Griffin, must have had somebody plant the numbers in his ear prior to the game, because he specifically referenced some advanced numbers that you typically don't hear coaches give as front-facing numbers. I'm sure they talk about it with their analytics department behind the scenes, but Adrian Griffin mentioned this during his press conference and his coach's comments before the game, and that was Giannis and Dame ran 16 possessions of that two-man game against the Knicks on Sunday, and they generated 1.5 PPP, points per play, points per possession, 1.5 on that two-man game between Giannis and Damian Lillard. Before this game, I think the season averages, it was just over 1. So in other words, a 50% success rate. 1.5 against the Knicks. That number continues to a trend upward. And the number that jumped out, I tweeted this out earlier as well, but the three-man lineup of Giannis, Damian Lillard, and Chris Middleton. 128.3 offensive rating. Now, their overall offensive rating is a 121+. 7 points per 100 possessions better with that trio on the floor. 111.5 defensive rating, which, again, is 4 points per 100 possessions better than what their season average is. And a net rating that's just under 17, which is about 10 points better than that number we keep pointing to since November 3rd. And for the entire season numbers, it's, what, about 12 points per 100 possessions better. They continue to be elite, and what's most impressive is in the half court, they've been very, very good there. That's not just the offense. Half court offense has been the biggest issue for this team in the last handful of postseason. So those numbers, I say encouraging, that would be putting it mildly. That's the belief, and that's what this Bucks team has bet on. That's what John Horst gambled on coming into this season is, what do we need to do differently? We need an offense that we can trust. When you get to the postseason, defenses can get better, but again, these are the most skilled players in the league. You're not going to stop them on every single trip down the floor. And as the Bucks were constructed, they were basically being asked to do that. You did not have those half-court shot makers. It was Chris Middleton, essentially. Damian Lillard changes things. And you can get into the argument of, well, teams are going to scheme against Dame in the postseason. Fine, I'm sure they will. But you can't take Damian Lillard and Giannis out of the game, right? Unless you've constructed the greatest defense in the history of the world. You're not going to have anybody that's going to individually shut down both of those players. There isn't a defense out there that exists. You can take one out. You can say, okay, we're going to wall off Giannis, and we're going to shut down the paint. So, Dame, you're going to have to knock down shots. Or you can say, we're just going to load up on the perimeter. When they run that two-man game, we're going to double Damian Lillard, and we don't care what Giannis does. Fine. Then you got Giannis rolling to the basket. That's the gamble the Bucks made. That's what's different, is we feel like we can much more effectively score in the postseason than we could before. Are we going to give it more points? In all likelihood, yes. You can point to, man, how are they going to defend the Celtics? And that is a legitimate question. Sixers, too. Let's not sleep on that team. A number of teams you can point to and say, well, with the personnel the Bucks have, here's the challenges to keep in front of those players, those teams, right? Same can be said for the Bucks when this unit gets rolling in. The way that Chris Middleton has looked offensively, that, to me, is not just Dame and Giannis really starting to gel. Chris Middleton looking the way he has offensively is really the biggest reason why this offense continues to find another gear and continue to take steps forward. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Justin in North Carolina. How's it going tonight, Justin?
My God, man. I hope all is well, man. You know, after Christmas Day, I was really hoping you had a post-game show. I probably said the most curse words ever possible on a Christmas Day that you could possibly say in life.
Even more than last year, or that Sixers game a couple years ago?
Yeah, so my thing, though, Justin, is it's just like Julius Randle to have 3 fouls called on him throughout an entire 48-minute basketball game with being as much pushing off and just bogus crap that he does throughout a basketball game is just laughable. No calls through the fourth quarter until, what, 27.5 seconds left, I think, was the first foul on the Knicks, and then they called another one after that. Like, it's just laughable, but it's okay. I mean, we have bigger fish to fry than the Knicks, and they are who they are, mediocre up and down team, missing a couple pieces. I was listening to what you were saying when I was on hold, and not only with that you can't stop Giannis or Dame, one of them is going to kill you, but I think Brook proved last year in the playoffs that his offensive game is still here, and he's still around, and he's shown that a couple times this year. Obviously, Cash Middleton is going to cash out if you try to key in on them guys, but they're not role players. I feel like Malik Beasley, what we may be lacking on the defensive end, if he's on, he brings a lot more. And I really feel like since Bobby has had this off stuff going on, he's turned it around after the in-season tournament, and he's showing us why he's one of our most valuable Bucks. But speaking of our most valuable Bucks, the game tonight, you know, there was a lot to be desired, points in the paint. You and Dave hit that on the head perfectly. But I just wanted to take a minute to thank the man, Senator Cole, for our Bucks being the Milwaukee Bucks. We could have been anywhere else in this country, maybe Seattle, who knows, but he made sure this team stayed here. I thought it was super cool by our new owners to give him a ring in 2021. And I'm just so thankful, man. That guy didn't see, he saw me as Justin, saw you as Justin, saw Thomas, Tom, Giannis is Giannis, Bobby is Bobby, and the list can go on forever, right? But he is truthfully just a legend and a pillar in our Milwaukee community, a pillar in our Wisconsin community, and a pillar in the United States. And it's so sad to lose a guy of that high moral character, man. And I'm just so thankful for him, not just for the Bucks, but like I said, all the other community work he did. That's huge, man.
Yeah, I started working for the Bucks in 2015, so just after he had sold the team. But every single person that I work with now that may no longer be with the team that I worked with then, they all had Herb Cole stories. As I mentioned, they all benefited as well when he sold the team, how generous he was with the financial windfall that he had from selling that team. He split that money out. He paid every single employee of the Bradley Center. He paid out people that worked for him with the Bucks. Hearing some of those totals that, you know, people that just work in concessions received from him for his sale, it was staggering. And it just speaks to the type of man that he was and everything that he did for this community, not just the team. I think the two of them are tied together. But up and down the list, you think about all the anonymous donors that we've seen for various things that it was Herb Cole, that he didn't want that type of attention. Everybody that came across him, he knew their name. People that worked at the Bradley Center, people that worked at the most entry-level jobs for the Bucks, he knew who they were, and they all had stories to share with Herb Cole and how he impacted them and just how kind of a man he was and everything that we strived for Milwaukee to be. That was Herb Cole.
No, absolutely, man. Even when you go to Madison, putting some stuff into the Cole Center to help that thing get off the ground. I mean, it's just there aren't too many people that come around this earth like that, come on this earth like that. No matter what side of the aisle you fall on politically, he was just a guy that was there for you, and he didn't care about that type of stuff. He just wanted to do right for our city. It's great. I'll leave you with this, man. I met him in Charlotte opening night, still the Bobcats then. Mm-hmm. He came and talked to me and talked to my mom like we were the Senators and we were the Coles owners and we were the Bucks owners, man. So the last thing, man, is just 2021 is everything that man deserved.
Yeah.
And bringing all of us together in the city of Milwaukee. I flew in from North Carolina because it was such a big thing. And it's a part for me until my last day here on this earth I will never forget. And if it all stems back to something, the reason we have Giannis and some of these other guys, it's Mr. Cole.
It's Herb Cole.
Take care, Justin. And
yeah, you as well. Thanks for the call, Justin. It's the Giannis part. That's the other big one to point out. It's Herb Cole. He was the owner of the team. It's not Herb Cole that drafted Giannis, but he owned the team when John Hammond drafted Giannis, and the work behind the scenes that Herb Cole did to help get Giannis's family over to Greece. Because as Giannis himself has said, he was having second thoughts over, you know, I don't know if I want to do this NBA thing anymore if I can't have my family with me. And they were 0-2 on their quest to get that visa and be able to remain in America and eventually become citizens. Herb Cole did a lot in helping Giannis's entire family come over and eventually stay here in America. with their son. And to that point, too, that Justin made, 2021 was everything that Herb Cole deserved. It was a complicated at times ownership, that tenure, I should say, that I think a lot of Bucks fans, you go back to the early to mid-90s, you go back to the early 2000s, certainly until that Giannis arrival, there was a lot of discontent and there was a lot of, I think it's time to find somebody else. But it wasn't until you took a step back. And look, and not to say that that wasn't true. I think it clearly became time for a new owner. But you cannot overstate how important it was, and not only for Herb Cole to recognize it's time, but to go out of his way to make sure who I sell this to, they're keeping the team in Milwaukee. That is not common with other franchises, other sports, owners in those. Look at what's happened in Seattle and in other places. Look at what's about to happen in Oakland. I know that wasn't a recent ownership change, but that was the number one thing for Herb Cole. He did not want the Bucks to ever leave Wisconsin and especially Milwaukee. And went out of his way to make sure, whoever I sell this to, you're keeping this franchise in Milwaukee. The Bucks earlier tonight, this was at about halftime, released a statement as well. Senator Cole was a lifelong and proud Wisconsinite who cared deeply for his state and the city of Milwaukee. As the Bucks owner, he was steadfast in making sure the team remained in the city, and his generosity led to the building of Fiserv Forum, which is on Herb Cole Way. Even after selling the team, Senator Cole loved the Bucks and was always seen in his team cap around town. The senator leaves behind an unmatched legacy in philanthropy, often anonymously and through his incredible Herb Cole Foundation. His impact in sports, public service, and business will always be remembered in our state. The Bucks expressed our deepest condolences to the senator's family and friends. A memorial to honor him will be held in the coming weeks. The Bucks don't return home until New Year's Day. We know they're going to be doing a memorial to honor Herb, as they just said there, Senator Cole, in the coming weeks. They're going to have something planned for New Year's Day against the Indiana Pacers as well. But that 2021, to finish up that point, you think about all the bad that you had to go through. And that Herb Cole experience as well as an owner with limited financial resources compared to some other ownership groups. And think about where the Bucks were on the map as an NBA franchise, as a sports franchise. The night that the Bucks won the championship, we did probably 3 hours of a post-game show. And it was reflecting on things like that. I remember as well, it was, I think, July 3rd when the Bucks won the Eastern Conference. Same thing, where we had an extended postgame show, just reflecting on, holy cow, can you believe the Bucks, our Milwaukee Bucks, are playing for an NBA championship? And to think about where this team was 20 years prior, 30 years prior, 10 years prior, when they went through a 15-win season. To think about all that and to see what was waiting for you on the other end is what made it even more special. And again, that doesn't happen without Herb Cole. The Bucks may be the Louisville Bucks. They could be the Las Vegas Bucks. They could be the Seattle Bucks. Who knows? But Herb Cole made sure that didn't happen. And that is something that I don't think, in seeing the outpouring by a lot of fans so far tonight, I don't think that is lost on a lot of people. And it should never be lost on people that the Milwaukee Bucks are the Milwaukee Bucks, largely because of the efforts of Senator Herb Cole. And, you know, when you lose those teams, the impact on the community, you don't get it back, right? And I think Herb Cole recognized that, but also his connection to Milwaukee. That was the other big part. The line in there about he could always be seen around town in his Bucks cap. Who doesn't have pictures with Herb Cole wearing the 90s era logo, the purple Bucks cap? And I remember, too, I was fortunate enough, you know, I grew up in this state and I grew up in the area. I grew up with My parents take him to the games at the Bradley Center. And getting a chance to work for the team that I grew up rooting for and loving, and getting to experience them win a championship and be a very small part of that, to see that on the front lines. I still remember getting a chance to be a part of the parade and wondering that morning. I know they're bringing out a lot of former Bucks and legends to be a part of this and experience this. We had seen quite a bit of Michael Redd around the team. Brandon Jennings was there. Obviously, Marcus Johnson as well, through his work with Bally Sports and on the TV broadcasts. He was in his own car. But everybody wondering, is Herb Cole going to be here? Like, Herb Cole is going to be here, right? And hearing that and hearing the confirmation that morning of Herb Cole is going to be here and we're going to put him in the lead car. And I will never forget getting on those buses and seeing Herb Cole's crew pull up and seeing the senator there with his Bucks hat and just the joy on his face that this was a dream come true for him as well. He wanted this throughout all of his years of owning the team, but more importantly, he wanted this for Milwaukee and for Wisconsin and for all Bucks fans to be able to experience that. And they got to, because he made sure they stayed here. And the same for ring night. Just a couple of months later, when the Bucks opened the season against the Brooklyn Nets, and being in that arena early enough, being down there on the floor well before we had to do our radio pregame, and again, seeing Herb Cole in the building and seeing Herb Cole receive his championship ring, which the team did for him, and just how appreciative he was and just genuinely happy he was. Those are the things that you go through all that stuff early and you realize this is what makes it worth it. And Herb Cole keeping the team here made all of that worth it. So it is a very, very sad day today with the passing of Senator Herb Cole, not just in the basketball world. Certainly there's that connection for anybody listening to this show as Bucks fans, but in the state of Wisconsin, for the man that he was, the character that he had, the philanthropy that we just mentioned, how many ways Herb Cole impacted this state and the community. It does not matter what political side you are aligned on. Herb Cole was a genuinely good person who brought out the best in people and, again, impacted this state in many ways. When you think about him being a senator, his ownership tenure with the Bucks, and everything that did for jobs in the community, just to keep that sports team in the community, it, retail as well. My connection to Herb Cole, I started working for the Bucks just after he sold the team, but I grew up in love with the Bucks because I loved basketball, and Herb Cole owned that team and kept that team in Milwaukee. I also worked for Kohl's, which Herb Cole was a part of, for over 10 years. So I have had a lot of connections to Senator Herb Cole, and a lot of these things that I've had the chance to do, I would not get that opportunity if it wasn't for Herb Cole and some of the things that he has done. 855-616-1620 is the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk, as the Bucks do win in Brooklyn. But again, the sad news today of the passing of Senator Herb Cole. More after this on Bucks Talk. Travel down the road and back again. 144 to 122, our final here as the Bucks take down the Nets and finally bring an end to their week-long stay in New York, which, look, it's a lot to be on the road, same hotel room for a week. In theory, it sounds like, hey, this is going to be fun. We get to spend a week, yeah, get to spend a week in New York. Like, where else would you rather be than New York for the week of Christmas? And then you get to like 3 or 4 days of it.
Then you're just done. You want to get out of there.
You're 2 or 3 days in and it's, God, again. So now they go to Cleveland. And look, I kind of joked about it of, well, I mean, it can present challenges of you got to get up for a team mentally when you look at that injury report and think, so we're going to see nobody? Like, you can let your guard down. Not quite this extent. You're going to see the same thing in Cleveland against the Cavs. You know there's going to be no Darius Garland and there's going to be no Evan Mobley. But I think the big thing for this team is, again, the defense is not where you need it to be. And they continue to have some major issues with point of attack defense. That needs to be cleaned up. Like, you can't go into the postseason with this defense where it is. If that's the case, everybody is going to say Celtics are going to win the title. Sixers could win the East. Nobody is going to be picking the Bucks, because as much fear as Giannis and Dame and Chris Middleton as the third option, as much fear as that's going to put in you, like, it's the opposite of the conversation we had before of these are gifted players. They're going to score. You're not going to stop them every single trip down the floor, but also you have to stop them some of those trips down the floor. So that certainly needs to improve, and it is on the forefront for Adrian Griffin and the rest of this team. Jay Crowder is going to help, but we can't put all of our eggs in the Jay Crowder is going to save this defense basket. There's got to be more to it than that. How sizable is that lift going to be? How much is that going to help? We'll see, but it's more of a collective effort, because we'll get into it as we get closer to the trade deadline. You also can't bank on that. You have zero first-round assets. You have limited second-round pick assets to move, and there's still some ambiguity over whether or not the Bucks are in that second apron. If they are, long story short, you can't sign a buyout player that had signed for a deal the mid-level or higher. So everybody's in it. Can we bring back P.J. Tucker? Let's just say the Clippers buy out P.J. Tucker. If you're in the second apron, you can't sign him on the buyout market. You can't aggregate contracts either. So in other words, you can't say, I'm going to take this $9 million deal and this $3 million deal. We're going to send those out and bring back $12 million. You would have to do one for one. Or you could do a, we'll trade for this $9 million player. We're sending out a $9 million contract, and we're sending out a smaller contract of a younger player, and that's the sweetener. But you can't add things up to get to that number. So those are the challenges that the Bucks are going to be facing, and why it's not going to be as simple this year as, well, we'll just get somebody at the trade deadline. I know John Horst has worked some magic before. I would never say never with John Horst in terms of what can the Bucks do with roster moves, but the league may say never, depending on where they sit at that apron situation. Again, we got 2 months to sort all that out, or a month and a half. I think the trade deadline's 6 weeks away. So we have some time to sort all that out. But in the meantime, you have to focus on improving that defense. It doesn't have to be overnight. You go from the 20th rated defense to 15th, 10th, right? You got to take some gradual steps. And again, 20th is a bit misleading. They haven't been great, but they have been closer, much closer to the 10th rated defense than they've been the 20th rated defense since they moved Brooke Lopez back into the drop position. 855-616-1620 is the Old National Bank talk and text line to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. Let's head back to the phone lines and talk with Marshall in Whitefish Bay. How's it going tonight?
Well, good evening, Justin. And first time caller to your show, but I listen after a lot of games, not every game, but most. And I like your analysis of everything. You're right on about the defense. That's clearly what needs to improve. But I wanted to talk a little bit about Senator Cole. I've been watching my alma mater play football tonight. They didn't do so well. We won't get into that. So I've missed a lot of the news today. But I have my memories about Senator Cole, and I am of a different political cut than he is on most things. But I think that the man was a tremendous businessman. I know if it had been me, I've lived on the East Coast before, Justin, I probably would have moved him to North Carolina. I would have been like Michael Jordan and moved him south. I mean, just because I have a lot of ties there, a lot of heart there. But Herb Cole loved this state. He and I want to make a connection here politically a little. Tommy Thompson and Herb Cole, no matter what part of the aisle you're on, both of those men, great men who love this state, who love this city. And Herb Cole proved it by keeping the Bucks here. And I saw, I was down at that parade. on after we won it in 21. And I'm old enough. I'm 63. I turned 63 yesterday. I'm old enough in my first stint here to remember 1971. There's a few of us out here. But Herb Cole was tremendous. And I remember him passing, and I just waved to him, and I yelled at him, thank you for keeping this team here. And he kind of looked back and kind of gave a little smile there. But that was just a great day for this city, this state. But I just remember the battles he had 20 and 25 years ago trying to keep this team in the state. And there was some doubt for a while. People forget, your younger folks, people have to remember, there was some doubt here. It mm-hmm. wasn't just the Brewers back in the 90s that there was doubt. There was doubt in the Bucks. And Michael Jordan even approached him.
Yep.
And so did many others. Seattle, Las Vegas, Louisville. There was a Louisville talk even about 10, 15 years ago. And it was just tremendous. He said no to all of them. He steadfastly said no. And here we are today, and we got rewarded. And, yes, he was there when Giannis came. Little did we know what we had. But, Justin, I'm glad you pointed out what he did behind the scenes, because a lot of people don't know that. But, you know, just in closing here, this has just been the culmination of a tough month. I'm a North Carolina alum. We've had a lot of our guys die, including players that I saw, you know, many moons ago and followed up here. It's been a tough month. I also have had family that I've lost this year, and now Senator Cole. But we've just got to honor them. And as I say, as a strong believer, I just always say, live each life to the best you can each day, because it goes to show you, no guarantees for the next day. But to end it, thank you, Senator Cole, and let's hope that the Bucks can go into Cleveland and get one on Friday night.
Yeah, let's hope so. And thanks for the call to Marshall.
Thank you, Justin.
A tough night for a lot of Bucks fans, and especially if you are of a certain age group where you experienced everything the Bucks were prior to that ownership and the success that they had, obviously in the 70s and that 71 season where they won the title, when they reached the finals in 74, and even the first couple years of Senator Cole's ownership as well, when that team was a juggernaut in the 80s that just had the unfortunate luck of being in the same conference as the Celtics, as the 76ers, as at times the Atlanta Hawks too, that the Bucks are one of those teams that everybody points to of, man, is this the best team to never have reached the NBA Finals or played for a championship in that era of Bucks basketball? You went through all that. And I would hear stories, too. I wasn't old enough, but I would hear stories from my uncles about watching games at the Mecca and what the Bucks were. And living through the era of Bucks basketball that I had, it makes it even more rewarding when you see what this team has become now. To see what you grew from, but to know that's possible because Herb Cole made sure this team stayed here. And I think it's important to note all of that, too, that there's a number of young Bucks fans. This isn't saying, well, the young Bucks fans don't understand, but you should recognize every young fan you see wearing that number 34 jersey. Look, if it wasn't for the Senator, you're not wearing that jersey. It may be the Vegas Bucks. It may be the Louisville Bucks. And as I shared, I remember being there at the Cousins Center on draft night in 2003. When all of that talk was really starting to intensify of Michael Jordan meeting with Senator Cole and potentially being part of an ownership group to buy the team, and more started to come out eventually of, I don't think Michael Jordan and this ownership group would be committed to leaving the Bucks in Milwaukee. And my recollection, I probably should have asked Marshall this too, because at that time I was in my early 20s. My recollection was Herb Cole was vilified, maybe strong, but the public perception was you're not selling to Michael Jordan. Like we want Michael Jordan as our owner. And it was only as more started to come out of, all right, I guess that makes sense. If it sounds like he's going to move the team, but the initial reaction was, wait a minute, Michael Jordan can buy our team and Senator Cole's not going to sell to him. Like that was the initial public reaction or at least partial reaction there. So it's a tough day, again, not just for the Bucks, as the Packers have released a statement as well. I believe the Brewers did. Because Herb Cole was impactful with that franchise as well, with all of the work that he did in Wisconsin as a senator in sports, certainly as an owner of the Bucks, the business world as well, when you think about Cole's grocery stores, Cole's department store, and just philanthropy, I think, is going to be the number one word that you hear the most about Senator Cole today, tomorrow, the coming days and weeks, as more and more tributes pour out for him and more remembrances come out. I think philanthropy will be the number one word that you hear mentioned the most, that you see printed the most, and that is the word that should be tied to Herb Cole more than anything else. Loyalty and philanthropy. The things that he did behind the scenes for a number of people. And this isn't what you'll come across a lot, too, of you look out for your friends and the people that you know, maybe the people that don't need it quite as much as others. Herb Cole, I can assure you, looked out for every single person tied to the Bucks that worked for the Bucks. Some of the stories that I heard, you just, especially in this day and age, you don't see that. You don't see people in the position that Herb Cole holds do some of those things to spread the wealth like he did with everyday people and employees of the Bradley Center, team employees with the Bucks. Taking $100 million from that sale and saying, we'll put this towards the new arena. I'm going to kick in some money as well. These are things that you just don't see other people do. And that's why that philanthropy word is, I think, what Herb Cole, I don't think he would say he would most want to be remembered by that because he was an anonymous guy. But I think that's the number one word that should be attached to Herb Cole. And you've seen stories already. I've seen instances, too, when Herb Cole has been at Fiserv Forum or out in public venues when people would approach him and tell him, thank you for essentially saving the Bucks and keeping the Bucks here in Milwaukee. Thank you. You did this. You kept them here. Every single time I would see that, Herb Cole would graciously say, no, it's thank you. For being a Bucks fan, number one, and for supporting the team, but I wasn't alone. It wasn't just me that did it. Like, that was Herb Cole. And again, it's you don't have many people like Herb Cole in all of the avenues that he found success and continued to touch lives and impact this state the way that he did for the last several decades. A truly, truly special man. So a sad day with the passing of Senator Herb Cole. 855-616-1620, the number to join us tonight on Bucks Talk. There is some other news that is much lighter news and better news that we have not even addressed yet. I'll get to that after this on Bucks Talk. Bucks win it in Brooklyn, 144-122, moving all the way up to second in offensive rating after this performance tonight. Defense, look, still a work in progress, still needs to be addressed in a number of areas. You're going to win a lot of games in the regular season, scoring a lot. You can win on talent. You can win on outscoring your opponent. And I do think Adrian Griffin has said the right things and knows we can't do that. We can't win the same way in the postseason. Like, we've continued to hear the same areas pop up of we got to do a better job. And I think tonight, too, you heard specifics on some of the rebounding and transition areas of, look, you either got to be more physical and jump higher than the opponent, or you got to play like I did as a role player. You got to be fundamental. You got to box out. You got to move your feet. You got to know what's coming next. And we're just kind of caught in between a lot of that. We continue to see these steps forward, and then these last two games especially has been more of a regression. But we've seen it. And again, coming into Christmas Day, the Bucks had a top 10 defense in the month of December. They're basically, what, 13th, I think we said, since Brooke Lopez moved back to the drop. 13th, 14th. So a little better than league average. And I've continued to bang that drum of, if you can be 12, 13, somewhere around there, 14, and just better than league average with an elite offense, I think I'll take that going into the playoffs, more so than what we've seen in recent years, because I trust this offense to score. The numbers back it up of, you know, Damian Lillard had an off night tonight, and you scored 144 points because of the threat that he poses. Chris Middleton really continuing to come around, but Giannis was 10 of 12 from the field, and I get it. We can look at the players on the floor for the Brooklyn Nets and say, yeah, but it's still 144 points, and the numbers back up what this offense has done in terms of their elite play so far this season. A lot of news today. I mentioned the sad news with the passing of Senator Herb Cole and the impact that he made in this community, in this state, in the NBA as well. Adam Silver releasing a statement on the passing of Senator Herb Cole, as well as he worked with him, obviously, coming into office as the commissioner of the NBA and his dealings with Herb Cole. But the impact that Herb Cole had all throughout the state community, the NBA, you name it, a sad day in that regard. On the other end of the spectrum here, there was some more news for the Bucks, which is not sad news. And that is, you know, we had seen some reports surface a few weeks back of one potential name the Bucks were reportedly targeting for an assistant coaching position, one that they had vacant after the exit of Terry Stotts. And today they made it official that they have added Trevor Gleason to their staff. If the name sounds familiar, you are clearly a basketball fan, because Trevor Gleason is a pretty highly regarded international coach. He had spent time with Adrian Griffin on the staff as assistants with the Toronto Raptors. But prior to that, Trevor Gleason was a mainstay in the NBL in Australia, where I got to hear the name quite a bit from my friend Kane Pittman. He won 5 championships with the Perth franchise, the Wildcats, in the NBL. And it heard some reports that Adrian Griffin was interested in adding Trevor Gleason to the staff all the way back to over the summer. They were still kind of sorting things out. So he has that connection with him. He had coached with him in Toronto on the Raptors staff under Nick Nurse. Again, highly regarded offensive mind and a coach that has been very successful on the international level. And that's one of the big things that we would point to, is it's a staff and a bench that was shorthanded. And even Adrian Griffin acknowledged, you know, we had one of the smaller staffs in the league with the departure of Terry Stotts, even before that. So now you add that and you fill that spot, because one of the bigger questions, and this is not to say that Trevor Gleason is the lead assistant, but I think coming in, you think about every single team and you know, well, this guy's the lead assistant. It's been a by-committee approach largely with the Bucks, where every staff doles out the scout to a different assistant on a daily basis, essentially. You'll have Patrick Mutombo, let's say, will scout the Cleveland Cavaliers and get you set for that game. But at the same time, you may have Joe Prunty scouting in the Indiana Pacers and just going around in circles. But the Bucks were shorthanded in that regard, and you had Joe Prunty. You have Josh Oppenheimer, who's been with the team through, I believe, 3 different head coaches now, that Josh Oppenheimer has been a mainstay on that Bucks assistant staff. Vin Baker as well, who's got a couple of years' experience now. But other than that, it's not a very, very experience compared to others, because these coaches have a number of years of experience. Patrick Mutombo had it at the G League and at the NBA level. All of these guys, they're experienced, just not quite as much as we see with some other staff. So this adds to that as well with the adding of Trevor Gleason. And again, we spent so much time talking about the defense and how you got to take steps forward here, some of the things that this team has to work to improve. Trevor Gleason is primarily known as an offensive coach. And again, very highly regarded offensive coach, especially in the international level. But it comes down to, and this is not to say, as we just said minutes ago, too, it's not to say ignore the defense. But what it comes down to more than anything is make your strengths as strong as possible. If you recognize, and as we just went through, this is not to say the defense can't get better, so give up on it. But the avenues for improving that defense to a very, very good level, not to say improvement overall, but the avenues to getting that defense into, man, this defense is something special, are much, much, much smaller, fewer of them, than you do to taking what is already an elite offense and putting that one step above that. And Trevor Gleason can help you there. You're winning on talent, as we said. But now it's unlocking easier ways to score and continuing to develop that two-man game between Giannis and Damian Lillard, Chris Middleton and Damian Lillard, all of it, working on some new sets. That's what Terry Stotts was going to handle. And I think especially early in the season, you saw a lot of those issues offensively where it was just a, what do we do here? What happens when the defense does this? Giannis maybe throwing the ball to spots, assuming players would be there, teammates would be there. They're not. Same for Damian Lillard. Damian Lillard rerouting himself and waiting to get the ball. Teammates not knowing to look there. These are all things a primary offensive mind, not so much lead assistant, but maybe a lead offensive assistant. These are all things that he can help juice and get to the next level. So if you can't raise your weakness, at least make your strength even more elite. And again, I'll point it out once more. It's not to say you can't improve the defense, but it's going to be easier to address the offense. And by all accounts, that's what the Bucks are going to get in Trevor Gleason. So he was there in New York, in Brooklyn tonight, and is with this team going forward. Adrian Griffin said, we're going to bring him along slowly. He's got to get to know the players. He's got to get to know the rest of the staff. Some of the other assistants that Griff brought with him from Toronto, he does have that relationship and backstory with. But it's going to be a process, as that word has been the most frequently used word for the Bucks this season. It's going to be a process to get him up to speed and to work on some of those relationships. And we'll throw some scouts his way, but then once we feel like he's comfortable with the team, then we're going to start to put a lot more on his plate. 855-616-1620, the number to join us here on Bucks Talk. We will take a look at the final game of not only the road trip, but 2023 for the Bucks as they head to Cleveland to take on the Cavaliers. We'll do that and wrap up the show after this on Bucks Talk. We had a busy day today as the Bucks win in New York. They go 2-1 on the three-game portion of the New York road trip here. Now off to Cleveland to wrap things up on this four-game road trip and the calendar year. Friday night against the Cavaliers. We had a new coach added as well, with Trevor Gleason coming over from Australia to join the Bucks as that missing piece after they had a vacancy with the abrupt departure of Terry Stotts. And we had the sad passing of former Bucks owner and a Milwaukee icon, Senator Herb Kohl. So a lot that took place for the Bucks today. A couple of texts I do want to point out before we sign off here. Everything that we talked about with Herb Kohl doing, even outside of the Bucks. Herb Kohl and his family also built Southridge in 1968 and Northridge in 1972. Again, very, very heavily involved in retail with Kohl's food stores and Kohl's department stores. One story as well, as I mentioned, everybody has a Herb Kohl story. You came across him in the city of Milwaukee, somewhere in public. He went to the same spots all the time that you knew where to find him. And he was such an approachable guy that he would take the time to talk to you as if you were the state senator. Whenever I would take my mom for brunch, we would almost always go to her favorite spot, the cafe at the Pfister. Almost every time we would see Senator Herb Kohl and have a nice chat with him, he was always welcoming. And he seemed to always remember us. He had such an incredibly positive and important impact in Milwaukee. A few others pointed out we were so lucky to have him as our senator. Nobody's senator but ours. And if only we could have politicians like him again. So a lot of outpouring stories, that experiences that everybody has had coming across Herb Kohl and how he's impacted their lives. And again, if you're listening to this show if you watched the game tonight, if you listened to the Bucks game tonight, the impact that Herb Cole had on you, one of the larger impacts that he had on you, was the Milwaukee Bucks, that he was the longtime owner, 3 decades, well, 4 decades, technically, nearly 30 years that Herb Cole owned the Milwaukee Bucks, and going out of his way to ensure that team stayed in Milwaukee, and ultimately Bucks fans got to experience what they did 3 years ago, 2 years ago, 2 summers ago, because Herb Cole kept the team here. So a truly, truly special man that had a lasting impact in this state, in this city, on this organization as well. A very, very sad day with the untimely passing of Senator Herb Cole. The Bucks wrap up this road trip Friday night in Cleveland against the Cavaliers. It's another 6:30 tip-off. 6 o'clock is when our pregame coverage begins. And as always, be sure to tune in after the game for Bucks Talk. We will talk to you Friday night once again with Bucks Talk.